Welcome to the Swarmcast, an episodic look at the Southwest Ohio regional meta and the players within. We have tourney players, casual locals, gifted hobbyists, and many more. So come join us down the rabbit hole of Warmer Hordes in the southwest corner of the Buckeye State. Your hosts are Jerry Stonecipher, Aaron Jones, and myself, Mike Corkell.
Hey guys, this is Cork. We're doing a carisode, so I've got with me is Andrew Wainer, and I got Jacob Green.
Hi, everyone.
Jacob got, third today, right?
Ooh, yep, I ended up in third place playing Crix. I was running Peace Garb, 3 units of Mechanithralls, 4 Brutes. One of the units had the Scarlock Commander that had Saxon Auric, a Colossal, the Sepulchre, whatever it's called, the one that creates more Mechanithralls, 2 units of Necrosurgeons, it had a Necrotech, and the Scarlock Thrall, and then I think there's like one other model in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And my second list was Denny 2, Deathjack, Barathrum, 2 Arc Nodes, a unit of Revenant with, main unit of Revenant with 2 UAs. It had a Seether attached to a Caius and 2 Warwitch Sirens, and I can't recall what else.
So, you got third. If you describe your day in a nutshell, how would you describe it?
Very long. My first 3 rounds, all of them basically ended with us having, between me and my opponent, probably having less than 7 minutes on the clock between the 2 of us. The first round, we ended up going 7 rounds. We went to time. My opponent had 43 seconds left or 34 seconds left on the clock when it ended. We had 9-9 score as far as scenario wins. We were running the double rectangle scenario. I can't recall.
Recon 2. Yeah.
So just very back and forth.
And you won that one on army points, right?
I ended up winning that one on army points. He was playing Sorsha, unit of riflemen with 3 rockets. Had the other unit with the blunderbusses, min unit with 3 rockets, unit of Widowmakers, Iris, and then a mortar with Covenant Joe, the stabby solo Iron Fang, and a behemoth and a spriggan. And then I think there was Elish Garrity and like the Tinkerer and maybe one other model in there.
Yeah.
He managed to wipe out basically everything in my army except for a Necrotech, the Necrosurgeon, Necrotech, my Colossal, and failed to kill my caster.
Yep.
So
you had 3 games that pretty much went to almost time.
Yes.
And then the last game was done the complete opposite.
Yes, the last game I ended up playing into Strakoff. Strakoff won. He had Beast 09, which is really the only model in that list that you need to know about right now.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it was double Rolar, double Kodiak, and Ruin. And then it had like the full Widowmaker boats. So I had Kel'Beliok, the Widowmaker Marksman, the unit of Widowmakers, and Iris in it. He started, runs forward, has superiority on Beast. My turn, I basically run everything, thinking I'm staying outside of his threats. Leave one model inside his threat range of Beast 09. So his caster overruns Beast 09, loads him up, pops his feet, and charges to make sure the Mechanithral is within charge distance of Beast 09, or charges so that Beast 09 is getting the +4 bonus from the feet. Beast 09 then charges for free because of the feet, comes in, threshers, kills three more mechanicals, triggering overrun. He walks 6 inches, ending within 2 inches of my caster, and proceeds to buy 3 attacks, needing boosted sixes because of murderous and superiority, and I die.
Yeah.
So that game took all of about 15 minutes, where all of my others were nearly 2 hours each.
That's harsh.
Yeah. So, not what I was expecting, but still, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. So, and then Andrew today, you went and got 6th place.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with that, actually. And I won one and lost the other three. I ran Legion, of course. One list had Absalonia 2, Proteus, and a bunch of beasts with a 2 Forsaken and a Shepherd in support. And I played that list the first 2 games. First game, I played a Mercenary player, and I lost that because I trace it most of my loss to... He had 2 units of, what are they, the Rulic Hammer guys?
Yeah.
Okay, and there was a point where, earlier on I had a Carnivian Breathe Fire on 2 Kawasaki Eliminators. I killed one and missed the other. Yeah, we'll call them Kawasaki Eliminators now. Okay, and then...
They ride bikes into combat.
Yeah, they do. That's how fast they are. He ran one up into... the Carnivian, and I ran a Forsaken up, did the explosion, and it didn't hurt the Eliminator. It rolled really crappy.
Wow.
So.
They're like armor 11, right?
I know. It's just like really low. It's like, oh my gosh. So that pretty much put the Carnivian was stuck there. All he did for the turn was swat down the Eliminator and couldn't. I wanted to get him positioned, hit at least 3, 4, 5 of the hammers with the fire and hopefully kill him, at least a few of them, and I couldn't. So, of course, he ran, he had the hammers run up. They killed the Carnivian on his turn. And he had 2 units of those. I could kill a few at a time, but not enough. I was killing his warjacks like they were nothing, and I just, but that took all my effort to kill warjacks and solos and Arianne on hold, and just I just couldn't kill enough of the hammers, and he was doing really good with them, hitting a good chunk of the time. So he got that mostly down to that one situation I described. Maybe he still would have won. Who knows?
So did you think about trampling?
I didn't really think about it. I was kind of far back. I don't think I would have had a landing spot to trample. Maybe I could have clipped a, that's only an 8-inch trample. I don't think I was within range of maybe 1 or 2 more. I could have hit the Eliminator, but not really the Dwarves.
Yeah.
So I was kind of in a bad spot to trample. I didn't think about it at all, though. So that's on me.
Yeah.
Maybe I could have, because I can't trample to breathe a fire.
No, but you can definitely not be stuck by the Eliminators.
Yeah, and maybe I could have trampled up and bought an attack or two and killed them.
Right.
2 more of them. So that's probably what I should have done. I don't remember how far back I was, though.
So your second opponent, what army were they playing?
Okay, that was that David guy, and he's playing the Kador, the other faction I play.
Okay. And, so you played Jake's first round player.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Okay, he had a Karch up the Terrible, Karch up the Terrible. We'll sing that song again. Okay.
So here's the funny, here's a little bit of trivia. David Herzmaki has now gotten Animosity Dayton. And that's a special ability he has now because he got to fight all 3 of us. Jake beat him. He beat Andrew, and he beat me. Did. So next time we get to play in an event with David, we're going to see if Dayton can exact some revenge.
Okay. So, I played that list. His rolls are about average. It seemed like he would hit every time, but he would get kind of blah damage rolls. And Here's what I did playing him. Okay, I played the same list, Abby with the Beasts. And let's see, turn two, I forgot to move Proteus, which turned out not to be a big deal because he faded and moved a bunch of guys, his jacks up. He had, you know, Karjeff and all the jacks. He had some Widowmakers. They killed Forsaken and Shepherd, and then the two Carnivians sprayed fire on him, killed both all four of the Widowmakers for revenge, I guess.
Yeah.
And then, let's see, the third turn, you know, I was really getting down to the combat, and I had a Naga Nihilurker charge on feet, turn into a jack, hoping to damage it some. It wasn't going to kill it. Double ones to hit. So on feet turn, I get practically nothing with that.
Ouch.
Proteus moved up to hit on some jacks. In the same turn, Proteus rolled all his attacks, two sets of double ones. So,
you had my dice.
Yeah, I did. I had really crappy dice that turn.
No, I think you got my dice and Jake's dice.
Oh, my. Yeah, it's pretty bad. It was not a good turn. I just killed a couple jacks and couldn't finish off a few more. After that, it was back and forth a bit, but he obviously had the advantage. He was killing more of my beasts, and eventually he gets it on a scenario because I'm having problems. He's moving his solos on the flags. It was the one with the three flags.
So let's take a break for a second. Mirage.
So it was Mirage, and the beauty about it was this was a non-theme list or a non-theme event, so a lot of people didn't have a whole lot of solos to really make some of the scenarios really live. So those that did have them, they were really doing scenarios.
So on my round two, my opponent basically beat himself with a failed activation. On your Mirage turn, you scored like what, 5 points?
So on my Mirage game, I ended up scoring. It was ended 6-1. I basically ran the Sepulcher. I popped feet with Peace Guard. Defeated the Sepulcher, who ran 10 inches to toe into the other zone in order to prevent them from scoring it. He was playing Haley 3, and I just ran Mechanithralls into his line to prevent him from coming forward. So basically when the game ended, Sepulcher was inside his zone, eating everything that came into it. Behind the Sepulcher was a Necrotech Surgeon, the Necrotech sitting on a flag who had two shield guards beside him, being shielded by a building on one side and the Sepulcher on the other. And then I had a stealth model, Saxon Orc, was sitting on the middle flag, and I had my Stalker contesting his last flag. So, yeah, that game was very, very live, and I think my Mechanithralls made all of 4 attacks that game, and I lost probably 20 out of the 30 Mechanithralls.
Yeah. One thing I will say is that recently, looking at the tables we've been playing on here in our Dayton area, we've been playing a lot of the other scenarios. I think, for myself, I'm thinking about putting Mirage down more often, just to get some experience on it to be able to really open it up.
Because I think that's a really good idea.
Because of the fact that the scenario is so live, you can lose the game even before you know it.
Yep. I mean, I scored 4-1-2-3. I scored 4 points in a single turn.
Yep. On my game, I scored the same exact amount. I scored 4 in 1 turn. I scored my circle zone, both flags, and their objective. And it didn't take much. He had one. He misplayed his cavalry, and that pretty much guaranteed that when he ended his turn, I was going to score my flag one more time, and that was it. So I think for our meta, Mirage, definitely put it on the table more and learn how to play it, because if it comes out and you're not prepared, you will lose that game quickly, or you will win that game quickly. One of the two. I don't think I've seen a Mirage game go to round seven.
No, I haven't.
So, after Mirage, you went into a Crix player.
Okay, I went into a Crix player, and he had used a Denny. I forget which one. And he had a unit of witches. And, he just, I don't know, it seemed like he ran out forward with a lot of the witches, and, he did not do well. He couldn't finish off, my, warmonger unit, or my, chosen unit. He got no army points because of that. He got no scenario points. I established myself in the scenarios, or the zones, and, he just couldn't do anything. It just seemed like I just kept killing his stuff. He wouldn't kill enough of mine. And, wound up, I beat him on scenario 6-0 and got almost all of his army.
Yeah.
I had a chance to kill his caster. I decided to go for army points instead, you know, because she wasn't doing anything.
So, funny thing is when we go to these events, we... this time around, it was our car, which is Andrew, Jake, and I. And then we had another Swarm car, which was Wes and Scott Stromquist. Scott won it. And Jake, for his third round, got to fight Wes. And how was that one?
So that one was interesting. So we had talked the night prior about our lists. So we both had a pretty good idea of what the other one was running. So he was playing P-Scar with double men riders, double men warriors. I think he had two stalkers, and a shrike on his caster. Two stalkers and a shrike on his caster. And then I know he had a Caius with two stalkers on a Caius. I feel like I'm missing some other things, but he had the Scarlock for all and the three scrap thralls.
Yeah.
So it ended up being P Scar versus P Scar. So he won the role to go first. He chose to go first. I chose table side. I deploy fairly centrally. So his first turn, he runs and puts a lot of pressure into the zone. Everything's way up there. He baits me in with, he puts one stalker within jump range of my stalker, along with Kangaroo. So I go ahead and go for it. I dart guidance on my turn one, send it in. My caster's sitting at zero, but she basically doesn't move. She sits at the 10-inch mark. She doesn't really move forward. The rest of my army moves forward. The stalker gets up there and manages to leave the other stalker at one, leave the other stalker at two health. His turn, he feeds, but I don't really put anything in range for him to charge. So when he feeded, he came in and he basically was trying to jam me out of the zones. He put the warriors are behind the riders in order to come in and start clearing chafe. The stalkers kind of come up and just try to cause problems. Otherwise, they sit back. And that's pretty much his whole turn, is just jockeying position. So my turn, I end up popping feet. I put dark guidance out. And I proceed to kill five of his bane riders under their feet. I kill one, two, three stalkers. I end up... Let's see, I kill three stalkers, I kill Cankerworm, I kill three or four Bane Warriors. It's just really bad. He loses probably 3/4 of his army. So his turn, he comes back in to do use of retaliation. His dice just aren't there. He kills a couple of Mechanithralls. He's coming into the Sepulchre with Bane Warriors and dice minus 13.
Ouch!
Managed to put some damage in there, but at dice minus 13, you're just really not getting there.
No.
So he's trying to put pressure on my caster. The Shrike comes in, kills quite a few people. Kills, I think, four Mechanithralls and hurts a brute. So the problem is, my following turn, I then basically leave him with Achaeus, his caster, the Scarlock, one Scrap Thrall, and one Bane Warrior is all he's got left. I've pretty much got three full units of Mechanithralls. Like, he really hasn't killed anything in my army. He's killed a Stalker and a Machine Wraith at this point.
Oh, jeez.
So he's looking at it, and he goes for, like, he has an assassination run he's going for. Scar ends up having to come forward. She kills, she marks a Blood Rain trying to get rid of Saxon Orc. The Saxon Orc is blocking the drag lane for Achaeus into my caster.
Right.
So he needs a one on a drift. So his first one he misses because he's not in range. He needs a one on the drift, gets it. Needs like a three in order to clip her, or to clip Saxon. He rolls it, boosts damage, and fails to do any damage. So he does it a second time. The Blood Rain again drifts to the one, again manages to land on top of Saxon, and then he proceeds to roll boxcars, killing Saxon Orc.
I was there for that one. That was kind of amazing.
I was actually getting really worried at this point.
Oh, yeah.
So my caster's sitting on four focus at this point. So Achaeus activates, walks up, jumps within 6 inches of my caster, and proceeds to shoot my caster, needing a 11 to hit me, and he misses the hit, and that's where basically the game ends. Because he's sitting in front of my caster. Sepulchre has enough range to get to his caster and his objective. So he pretty much calls the game at that point. But that was a really good game.
Oh, yeah. I came in at the last part of it, and I saw what was going on. I'm like, wow. It was just amazing to see where he had gone to. Right? And to watch that assassination run, and everything was hinging on it. So, round four, Andrew got to play Wes.
Yes, I did.
And then Jake got to play Scott Stromquist for the tournament for all the marbles.
And that's where Strakoff and Beasto 9 kill me bottom of two. Top of two.
Ouch.
Gets me top of two.
And then against Wes.
It was a long grind. He beat me on scenario 5-0. I couldn't get any scenario points. He was in the scenario enough. Every time I moved up stuff into it, he would kill him. You know, he was playing Scar. And I killed a decent amount of stuff. What, I get 50-some army points? Yeah. But I couldn't kill it all.
Yeah. So, Jay, today, what lessons do you pull from this tournament?
Bring two lists that you've got more prep time with.
Yeah.
The second list I brought, Denny 2, I played twice. I really should not have brought it, and I should have played or brought something I had more time with. Two, asking more questions. Some rules came up that... Sorry, guys. Some rules came up that were not... We had a rule about linear obstructions and being able to shoot models because of volume, which is something that I have not heard of since Mark II.
Yeah.
But when it came up, we had to go get a clarification for this event because it kind of mattered.
Yeah.
So, and then looking at tables and realizing not having line of sight block in the middle of the terrain makes the games very different. Seeing a lot of gun lines up here with nothing in the middle to prevent you from being shot was just kind of bad.
Yeah.
I'm glad that at least with the list I had some shield guards in to keep me alive. But yeah, I think that was a lot of it. Getting a lot more prep time in for playing two time and going and trying to play seven rounds.
Yeah.
Most of my games, I was going for time, or I was going for length of the game because that only benefits me because I'm just bringing guys back.
Yeah, that recursion engine is just really strong.
So, otherwise, asking the right questions with my last rounds, I apparently did not ask the correct questions as far as what Beast 09 was capable of doing, which is part of why I lost that match.
Yeah.
So, I know better for next time. Okay. And I'll learn from it.
So, Andrew.
Yes.
Lessons learned from today.
Let's see. What could I learn from today? I got to remember more of my own rules. I was forgetting about Golab's finisher, you know, an extra dice of damage on damage models. So the TO was watching my last game. He's like, oh, don't you have finisher? I'm like, oh, God, I do. Let's see. I completely forgot about vengeance with my warmongers. Again, I got to remember my own rules.
Right.
I got to, before my turn's done, make sure I've activated all my models that I want to. As described, I forgot to move Proteus one game. They got another game I forgot to move something, but I'm not quite sure which one. It wasn't a big consequence. I guess another thing, I don't know. I think both my lists were different enough where, you know, they had different strengths and so on. I still feel my Animag list was a better Crix drop, and I played against two Crix players today.
Right.
Yeah. So I learned I haven't had enough games against Crix with that list. So, you know, I went 1-1 against him with Animag. I feel that's pretty good. Wes is a really good player. I've never beat him.
So can I ask a question?
Sure, yeah.
So did you lose the Blightbringer top of two or bottom of two in any of your games?
No, Blightbringer, let's see. Blightbringer lived through both games.
Nice.
We were talking earlier about not running him up so far to where he's vulnerable, you know, to attack. So that worked well. He actually got, let's see, he got down to within just a couple points against Wes. Then I healed him back, and then it was game over scenario-wise after that, but he didn't die. So that's a big step there.
Yeah. That's a very big step.
Yeah.
So the big thing was, before we showed up, was looking for threat ranges and things that can kill the Blightbringer and not putting him within range unless you're intending to do it. So, victory!
Yay! Dead Blightbringer.
Well, you achieved your goal for today.
Okay.
You did not lose your Blightbringer.
I came close on the one game, but yeah. So, let's hope that that's a trend. I'll try my best to keep that going.
Yeah. So, for me, I learned that Grimkins suck out of theme. And if you disagree with me, you can fight me, but it's still the truth. I will say that for me, the tables really hurt because there was nowhere to hide. And with very, you know, cast who said need. I played Old Witch 3 and Heretic. I needed to keep Heretic alive, but still keep him in the game. And the only line of sight blocking terrain that I had for Heretic was all the way in the back towards my deployment zone. So I had really no way of projecting forward. And then I sat there and kept trying to get a little bit more work done with him. Now, granted, I had not been assassinated all day, so I kept my casters alive. I went 2-2. I took 5th. We were talking earlier that, you know, I played both casters twice, but I only ever popped one Arcana throughout the entire time that I played Heretic twice. So we were just talking, and, you know, we came up with a couple ideas of what I need to do to really get the Arcanas working for me. I talked with Wes while we were there, and I got another couple ideas from him as well. So, you know, next couple weeks, that's what I'm going to be working on, is trying to get the Arcanas to go off a little bit more reliably. But, you know, all in all, it was a good tournament. I mean, I was at a disadvantage for most of the day, and I sat there and was able to go against some really good players and, you know, give them a hard time. Sorry, Messenger, but I got you again. That was a really good game, and it pretty much, it came down to me being able to get the assassination at the last second with most of my army gone. So again, never give up. And then I break that rule on my 4th round when my entire army exploded against Kador and Dave Hurts Maki, who now has animosity Dayton. So we'll get you back, David. If you're listening to this, we will get you back. We're going to make it 3-0 for Dayton.
Yes.
So next week, we've got Ashtabula in the Zone Games. I don't think any of us are going.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to go to that.
That's too long of a drive, too many weekends in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's a band I want to see Friday night, and I've got to be out late.
And then the next one after that is going to be the Toledo Game Room on September 8th.
I'm going
to that.
Which
should be really good because it's going to pull players from all over Ohio, Indiana, Michigan. We'll probably, if we don't have 24 players minimum, I'd be surprised.
Yeah. Because, I mean, we'll have some really good con players, some really good consistent players, a ton of vets. I mean, it's a shark's pit, but if you want to get good at the game, this is the one to go to and actually learn from some of the best players in the game. And then after that, do we have any idea after September 8th? Anyone's hear anything?
I don't know beyond that.
I know the Guard Tower has one more slated for them.
Okay.
We've run through all of ours.
I don't think any dates have been assigned yet.
Yeah. And then talking to John Messenger, who runs the OWC, we're looking at the beginning of December for the finals. So it's something that we're all just going to have to get ready for and see if we can do it. By the end of the day, Scott Stromquist, congratulations to you. You got qualified.
Yay!
And then Dave Hurtsmaki took 2nd, and then Jake took 3rd, and then Wes took 4th, and I took 5th. And then Andrew took up 6th, and then everyone else passed that. It was a 12-player tournament. But from 7th place on, everyone dropped after the 3rd round. So right now, point standing-wise, Wes is 2 points ahead of me now. So I'm definitely going to go up to Toledo and see what I can do there. And then we were talking, I know Jake and I have been talking with the guys. So, Food Machine, we're going to try and make it happen this year.
We're definitely doing it.
Okay. So, keep an ear out for that or an eye out for that. Food Machine, if you've never played or never experienced it or never heard of it, is a standard Steamroller tournament where you can cheat by bringing in canned goods or whatever the food bank needs. And each one of those is going to be converted into a poker chip. And every time you want to cheat by saying, I want to boost this roll, I want to bring a character that's not even allowed in my army from another faction. And you just sit there and go, I really need to hit this guy. Here, have a can of green beans. I missed again. I really want to hit him. I'm going to spend another can of green beans and another, and then here's a second can of green beans. I'm going to boost it. And then you just sit there and spend your cans of food or, you know, your toothbrushes or whatever it is that we're collecting, and you cheat your butt off to try and win. And it's all for a good cause. We're going to be working out the details and getting the food bank picked. So if any of you have any suggestions on food banks or any places that could definitely use the help, let us know. And then after that, December is the WC qualifier. Also for November, be aware that the OTC signups are at the beginning of November. The I believe the Epic Loot team has already been put together, but the Game Haven team has a couple spots open. Right now we're just finalizing, so if you're interested, let us know.
It's a lot of fun. It's a great tournament.
Oh yeah. And then I think Columbus is also trying to get a team together or try and get people on a team. So if you're interested, this is a great international tournament that you can go to, have fun, meet some great people. I sit there and I love going every year just because of, you know, people like the organizers, Scott Tellerico, and, you know, being able to meet people like Tim Banky and Mark LeBlanc and just really getting to ask them questions and learn from their experiences. And be able to talk with a lot of people that you hear on podcasts, that you see, you know, on battle reports. Also, I am almost ready to start recording and streaming games from Game Haven again.
Cool. Okay.
I just got a couple more things to iron out, technically. But other than that, I'm shooting for possibly in the next couple of weeks. Go ahead and start streaming. That'll so,
be fun. Yeah.
Pretty much I'm going to stream up to Twitch, and then I'm also capturing the video to put it on YouTube afterwards. So we've got the podcast. We're going to start streaming. Just really getting a little bit more exposure to what we're doing. And so it helps us be able to look at what we're doing and be able to find where we can grow. Because I don't know how many times where, you know, I'm in the middle of a game thinking I'm screwed. I got nothing I can do. And then afterwards, you know, Jake or Edge or even, you know, Andrew just stopping by, looking over and walking away going, hey, why didn't you do this? And going, I didn't even think about that.
Right.
And, you know, having another set of eyes or looking at it when you're not in the heat of the moment only helps us get better. And then remember, right now we're in the middle of a JML. If you haven't signed up, get signed up for it. We're going to have an end of JML event. Probably going to be a tournament, one list, with your JML army. We're going to have the painting competition. And then I think that's it for us, right? Got anything else, Jake?
I don't.
How about you, Andrew?
That seems to cover everything. Food machine, JML, Toledo. I think that's about it.
All righty. Well, we're going to jump off of here. We are about 2 hours out from home, so we will continue on our trek home, and you guys take care. And if you come see us out on Tuesday nights up at Game Haven, Friday nights, we are now doing Centerville Loot.
Centerville Loot, yes.
Yep, we're getting pretty much people coming out Friday nights for that, and then Springfield also has Friday nights, so whichever one's closer, you now have two places to find games on Friday nights. And then just post up on the group if you are on there. If you need games throughout the week, I'm sure there's someone always available. So from me, Andrew, Jake, have a good one.
Bye now.
See you later.